I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the Power Platform Show. Thanks for joining me today. I hope today's guest inspires and educates you on the possibilities of the Microsoft Power Platform. Now, let's get on with the show. Today's guest is from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. She's a senior UX architect and accessibility evangelist at Avanade. She has extensive experience in digital accessibility and conversational interfaces. You can check her out on LinkedIn, Twitter, blog, etc. All of those links will be in the show notes. So if you want to connect with her there. But with that, Maria, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. And hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be in this session today.
Excellent. I'm excited to talk to you about, you know, user experience design, accessibility, and all these great things, you know, and UI as well, in the context, of course, the Power Platform and or the Microsoft Business Application Suite of products. But before we go there, let's find out about you. Let's drill into your personal life and talk about what you do when you're not working, what's the best food to eat in Toronto, and family.
All right. What I do after work hours, I usually do, I love dancing. And This is one of the things I've been missing a lot since the pandemic happened. But I switch to some activities as drawing and cooking. It's been one of my best hobbies during this pandemic. About food in Toronto, as being the city, a multicultural city, you have so many options of where to go. I would say my favorite is the Korean barbecue, and my background is Mexican, so I've been looking for good Mexican restaurants across the city, so you can find good things around.
Nice. You've been cooking. Tell me, what's your go-to dish at the moment?
Oof. Well, I call it by season, by month, mm-hmm. I try new things. From Asian food, trying more steam or making dumplings. It relaxes me a lot trying to make the shapes. Even most of the times it doesn't work or look like I want to. But I try to make a nice and cute food. I call it cute food, yeah.
Nice. Can you make xiaolongbao, which is the dumpling with the soup that's inside the dumpling as well with the meat? You know, like when you bite it, you got to watch you don't burn yourself because the soup comes out of the dumpling.
I haven't done those ones, but I have done the ones with different characters on it. I have food coloring, so I can play with the characters, making cute animals or person character on it.
That's so cool. So, first of all, how, you know, from a career perspective, how did you get into your career? What was your career journey up to this point?
Well, I've been lucky that since the beginning, I always knew that I wanted to study graphic design. That's my background. And I always want to do something with the technology. So it was between studying engineer or graphic design. So I'm not that good at programming. And I pick graphic design, and later on, I make my specialty in usability and interaction. That's the area of specialty where I'm working right now. Mm-hmm. And this has been my journey since the beginning. I started with Flash, Micromedia Flash. That was my beginning.
Yeah, Micromedia Flash.
Yes, yeah. That's how I knew what would be my direction. Yes.
I mean, I remember, you know, learning how to animate in that and, you know, creating your keyframes and morphing an object. And everyone was like, wow, this is amazing. Yeah, Macromedia was such an awesome company. Adobe purchased them, right? Adobe owned all the macro. Even their web design, you know, tool, was it Dreamweaver back in the day? It was an amazing tool. It was definitely the best in the market. You know, I loved those tools.
Yeah, I passed my physics classes making nice prototypes on them.
Nice, nice. So bring us up to speed, how you got into what you currently do. Like, where did you first touch the Power Platform? Where did you first touch Dynamics 365 in your career? Like, how did they all of a sudden become something that you started to explore?
I've been having exposure to those from the projects. When I was working on a conversational interface tool, a chatbot, this was operated by Power BI. Mm-hmm. Power BI and tracking some of the features and how this tool was behaving. And mm-hmm. as a designer, and always been curious about touching any tool, I started reading that most of the Power Platform tools, they're very intuitive for users. However, they're not that intuitive for designers as the designer tools, but you still have the opportunity to get familiar with the interface. So I've always been curious and start seeing what we can build on them. And we as a designers, until where we can customize a tool without the need of having the technical team making mm-hmm. code or arranging the things for more advanced features.
Yeah.
So it's been basically my initial exposure to the tools.
Okay. That makes sense. So, because, you know, I've noticed over time that the makeup of a team now that delivers a solution to a customer is way different than it was 10 years ago, where 10 years ago, if you saw a designer on a project, you'd be like, who invited them, right? Where do they come from? But before I unpack, you know, some concepts here, what I'll do is I'll unpack some concepts. Tell me, when you talk about conversational interfaces, what does that mean to you?
Conversation interfaces is basically make a computer sounds like a human or a person speaking to a real mm-hmm. person on it. So those are created to solve or help with tasks, simple tasks, mm-hmm. as the technology is doing it now. Mm-hmm. But to facilitate some verbal communication. And also voice. They're very powerful in the voice sequencer and verbal communication.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, okay, let's talk about user experience design. What is user experience design in this context?
User experience is make any tool in terms of a digital environment, mm-hmm. a tool, software, website, mobile application, easy to use. That there are certain patterns of design created mm-hmm. that help us to arrange the design in a way that a person without even any familiarity with the technology, they can mm-hmm. interact with the information and get into specific tasks.
Nice. And so when we talk then about user interfaces, a user interface is just one of those tools to help a user experience designer to make it easy to use. Is that the case?
Yes.
Do you see people sometimes get user interface design and user experience design confused?
There is some confusion because UX, well, they're interconnected. Experience design is more oriented into the first stage of the product or the solution design. You start mm-hmm. going for analyzing to whom you're gonna be presenting this product. You start drafting the skeleton, the blueprint mm-hmm. of the solution. In this case, a website or a mobile application, mm-hmm. and the user interface is interconnected, but it also applies to dress up all the image of this application mm-hmm. today in a meeting they call it to make it pretty and beauty.
Yep. Yep.
And also some animation and interactions that might help to make it soft interactions that the person mm-hmm. might find it easy to use even with their mouse, mm-hmm. keyboard, or even their fingers.
Yeah, Yeah. And of course, so many things can come into that, right? If, you know, if the person is in an industrial scenario, they might have gloves on. How does that affect things? How does orientation of device affect things? How does environmental variables and as well then accessibility must play into this as well, right? For people that have requirements that might not be, you know, just standard or out of the box. How do you address that?
So you make a very good point talking about the strain environment, someone with gloves, but that might not mean they are disabled of not having their regular fingers, but the gloves make a different space for the screen to touch it. So they require bigger buttons or bigger space between text or the content where they can touch it without clicking in any other item. So definitely accessibility. That's what I like a lot about accessibility, because it goes hand to hand with the user experience. Yeah. It's the humanized part of the design. Think about your real human, how they're going to be interacting with the solution. It could be due to a disability, presenting disability, temporal, that many of us were exposed to those, or even that simple, like your screen might not be reflecting the same light when you are in your house with the lights off, than when you're outside with the sun and very shiny screen. It's kind of hard to see your content. All of it is included also in the user interface and activity and accessibility.
That's so good. Now, I've worked for a long time in the space, and as I say, traditionally, the people that implemented solutions are hardcore technologists. Now, they might be technical technologists, developers, programmers, that type of thing, or they could be functional technologists. So business analysts, they're really good at understanding what their client problem is, and gathering requirements and implementing them. And then over, you know, about 5 or 6 years ago, I saw adoption becoming a big part of what we're doing. And so we were change managers, right? People that took people on a journey to what the current state, what the future state would look like. And then if I was to focus on what I'm seeing change now in the last 3 years, I am seeing people come into the team that deliver, you know, solutions, being experienced designers, being graphic designers, people that have traditionally not played with Microsoft's tools as much, or were never invited to, but I'm seeing people that are really serious about building apps these days are now bringing these skill sets in. And I think sometimes there's a disconnect where people are going, well, the programmer should be able to do this, or the business analyst should be. But I mean, to be a designer, to think in context of user experience, and it's a different set of skills, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's also what I like a lot is when BAs or even the developers we work with, they start talking about user experience, and they don't need to know all the jargon that we use in design, but at least knowing that there is a person who's going to be the end user of the tool, they start thinking that there's certain features or elements that needs to be considered in application, that is not only the development part.
Yeah. So what are you seeing? Are you seeing these type of changes in how team mixes are made up? You know, you work for a traditional partner, one of the market leading partners in the world in the business application space. Are you seeing a move in how people are even recruited now into your teams with than perhaps they were in the past?
Yes. Indeed, there is more diversification in their skill set. As you said before, it was only one side, and that's their whole truth for them. But the more we are exposed to cross-functional teams, we start seeing or learning from others and complement each other. That's one of the most important. I work a lot with business teams that at the beginning they might not speak any of our language, or understand the value of the designer work and the project, that they jump into the technical functionality. But after they've seen how the solution might be affected or improved by changing a few things in the interaction, might provide a better experience, might provide a better income, and more positive elements for the project. So you will see them now in the next stage, talking with the designers, hey, let's partner together and talk about this new project.
If you're looking for a structured way to enhance your career in Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform, this is for you. Enrollment for the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge April to June cohort are now open. I discovered MSCRM in 2003 and it changed the course of my life. My career in Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform has taken me all over the world, and the opportunities for people to build a career in the space today are better than ever. The 90-Day Mentoring Challenge will help you chart a path to capitalize on these opportunities and build the skills for greatness. Find out more at ako.nz365guy.com. For the first time, I'm limiting space on this cohort for a more intimate experience. So if you want to be part of it, don't wait. Enrollment will close on the 25th of March. Podcast listeners can use the code PODCAST for a 10% discount at checkout. If people want to kind of educate themselves more in this area, you know, they might be listening to the show here and they might want to, what type of things, like, are there courses that they can go and do if they're like, you know, I've always actually wanted to do some design or get into design, short of going back to university and, you know, doing a design type qualification? What other resources are out there that people could use to increase their understanding of user experience design, as well as accessibility and user interface design?
Right. So what I'm very happy now is that there's a lot of resources on the internet to learn more about these topics. When I started, it was only the iOS book on how to improve your mobile applications. That was my first book to learn about interactions. Now I recommend you, in terms of design, there's a lot of good videos on YouTube where you can just search the word user experience and learn more. If you want to follow one of the gurus of the user experience, you can follow a Nielsen group where you can learn a bit more about their blogs and content on regards to user experience. And if you want to learn more about accessibility and the best practices and how to apply it into your products, you can review the WCAG, that is WCAG, which are the web standard guidelines that can be applied to any web or mobile solution. So this is like the main library of content that you can go for.
I like it. Tell me about the things that are missing right now from Power App Studio and things like that. And I wanted to look at it missing from the context of a designer, because I've talked to, you know, a range of people that said, you know, obviously engineers build these interfaces and build the product, and wouldn't it be awesome if Microsoft, for every, you know, technical engineer, had a design engineer or a design architect, you know, as part of that story. And, you know, when I look at the landscape, you know, particularly in Adobe, there's you know, Adobe XD, you know, allows you to prototype up interfaces, you know, simulate like what they would work, test them even, you know, you could do usability testing and validate them before you actually would import those into the development environment for build. What would you like to see Microsoft add to the mix?
What I have observed in the documentation is it's kind of intuitive, but still not to the level for the designers. I would say to make to edit the application a bit more designer friendly, following the patterns that tools like XD, Sketch, or Figma use. So it became more easier for the designers to go through that. Another thing is that if they improve this part, they might reduce the time of implementation of the application. And this is something I speak a lot with the designers and developers when they're working those applications. It's like, what is the gap in the conversation here? And most of the time is the deliverables for the design deliverables for Power Platform applications are different than we do for web. So when we see that the interfaces are kind of user-friendly, we would like it to be a bit more design oriented. So designers, instead of deliver a bunch of images or coding, etc., they can do it by themselves and let the developers to work in the all the hard data or complex interactions that might need some coding. But all the to work on the graphic interface, I think that's where Microsoft should be improving the products at this level.
Yeah. What about, you know, you mentioned Sketch, Figma, and Adobe XD, three common tools used in the industry. Is there any, and I don't know these tools well. I have Adobe XD on my desktop here purely to understand what it does, but I'm not a designer per se, and so don't use it in that respect. So educate me if you will. Is there like an export function that I could, let's say, mock up an interface and then export out artifacts that could be used in a Power App? Or at least, you know, because Power Apps, you know, one of the stories of Power Apps is it gives you pixel precise control of your UI, particularly in Canvas as opposed to model driven. So is there any kind of tooling that would be awesome if that we could export something like that and have the ability to import and maybe stitch it to the data sets, you know, that are going to light up those things in the back end of the data model?
Right now, it doesn't exist. It does exist for web, but not for Power Platform. And that's something that would be fantastic to do, because in that way, you can reduce the delivery time and the effort by having a plugin that gives you directly into more graphic deliverable.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. Tell me about UIKit.
UIKit. Quite necessary if you want to keep the style of your product. Mm-hmm. UIKit, for someone who doesn't know about them, it's all the components that you see in your website or mobile application, the boxes for the forms, buttons, images, the font sizes, the text that you see, they are not just created just because of the content. There's some rules set by the designers where the content might be presented in those spaces. So those UI kits work as a library of components. And I think developers, they use also a library of data when they're implementing some of the products. Mm-hmm. And those are pretty good because you just need to know what are your styling of this components in your library and just directly call it in your platform, right?
Yeah.
And when we as a UX designers, we provide the skeleton or the blueprint, well, we call it wireframes, of the application, the developers, they already identify which are those components and how to style them. And instead of breaking their heads of which color and size it could be better to use, they just follow the rules or the style that we provide, and that's the right way to go.
Yeah, makes sense. So that's definitely another thing that our teams need to be aware of and understand when it comes to design. Have you done much work in Power App portals and you know, because they're really the web, you know, they're a website at the end of the day as opposed to a pure app like in Power Apps. And is there anything that you would like to see improved in that from a designer's perspective?
Definitely. I would say is Microsoft should make more documentation for designers. I have reviewed a very nice content for the Microsoft Power Platform Library, where they also have templates or real cases of other products created on their Power Platforms. And I'm very surprised of all the things that you can create. And when I speak with other designers, how they went through a very complex application, they say like it takes them time to understand the tool and the functionalities, but it's doable to do any creative things. You just need to spend a little more time of getting familiar with the technicalities of the tool. Another thing that's missing would be a list of features that you can do. We need the patterns of how advanced or how crazy, I would say, as a designer, how crazy you can go with your design and how this can be implemented in the time and the resources that the client also is giving you to implement. So as a new technology, I would say like how far you can go with these solutions.
I like it. I like it. I see just this week that we're recording here that the might be the CAT team at Microsoft has released on GitHub some specific design-related features and tool sets, which I think is absolutely fantastic. Maria, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, and looking forward for the next episode.
Cheers. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP Mark Smith, otherwise known as the NZ365 Guy. If there's a guest you'd like to see on the show, please message me on LinkedIn. If you want to be a supporter of the show, please check out buymeacoffee.com/NZ365Guy. Stay safe out there and shoot for the stars. Before you go, a quick reminder that the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge kicks off on the 1st of April. Every cohort, I hear people say that surely this group has been the best one ever. The true magic of the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge is the connections formed between a group of people who are committed to learning with and from each other. Will you be part of the best cohort yet? Use the code PODCAST for 10% off at checkout. Visit ako.nz365guy.com to see a detailed curriculum and hear what past participants have to say about the challenge. I can't wait to help you discover the unique value you bring to the community and just how far you can take your career.